23 years in the music business, still kicking, still going strong, still out here swinging for the fences and hitting home runs every day, man. One record, there's six different ways to get money off of it. You know what I'm saying? It's called the six exclusive copyrights. The record business should not be shady. No. All right, we can't just sit back and say, well, this is how it is. No, this it isn't how it should be. Right. Half of these artists who I see say they don't need showcases. When I finally see them perform, they looking down, they looking around, they ain't got no breath control. They're ad-libbing their backtrack. You not even performing. Right now, I'm the curator of a Hornets Music Industry Night. Mm. In my marriage, I would want respect more than anything.
The Highest Point Podcast.
More than a pod, it's a lifestyle. Lifestyle.
Yo, 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 welcome to the Highest Point Podcast. This is a show for everyone who's willing to put in the labor to be greater, to reach the highest point. Now, speaking about someone who's putting in the work, we have a very special guest in the building. He's an entrepreneur. He's an educator. And he's one of the most influential DJs in the Carolinas.
Okay.
He's pivotal for putting on some of your hardest artists out here, like DaBaby. We got Young Jock, Trey Songz, Plies. He's been pivotal in helping them become multi-platinum superstars, man. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to welcome none other than DJ Chuck T. What's good with you, my brother?
Man, I'm doing good. God is great. No complaints, man.
Yeah.
Happy to still be out here. You know what? 23 years later. You know what I'm saying? Look, yeah. if I was in the military, I'd be retiring.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? 23 years in the music business, still kicking, still going strong, still out here swinging for the fences and hitting home runs every day, man.
Man, that's dope. 23 years, man. What keeps you motivated to keep grinding in this music industry game? Man,
doing what I love. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I wake up every morning and do exactly what it is that I love. And when you got a love for something like that, it's not even a job. You know, we always hear that saying, you know, love your job, never work another day in your life.
Yeah.
Or if you enjoy what you do for a living, you'll never work another day in your life. That's how it goes. I mean, man, that's a real live testament of me and what I do.
That makes a difference. You made your passion your paycheck, man. And that's always what it's about.
Always. And that's what I try to help a lot of entrepreneurs understand. You know, a lot of people know me from the music side of things. Mm-hmm. A lot of people who really, really know me, they know my passion is helping other people do what they love for a living, period. You know, no matter what side of the business you're in. Over the last, 5 years, I've helped over 273 entrepreneurs start their businesses up.
Man,
you know what I'm saying? It started during the pandemic.
Yeah.
You know, just trying to help us get some of that PPP and EIDL money. Right. You know, well, it actually started before that. It started in my music business classes, trying to turn every last single person who walked through that door into a business, whether you are artist, DJ, producer, manager, record label owner, publicist, or a podcaster, whatever. Right. It started with the music. And then from there, with my music business course, just focusing so much on business setup and business funding, you know, my first, full day of the class, because the class is 3 days. Mm-hmm. The first full day is just on setting up a business.
Wow.
You know, I had so many people come to me and say, yo, you know, what you taught us in music business class, does that apply to any business? Can I start any business? You know, my mom wants to do this. She's a seamstress. My girl does lashes. She wants to do this. Can you help her start it?
Right.
And boom, from there, it just took off. And then, like I said, during the pandemic, you know, it ramped up because everybody's trying to get that paper.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. And it has just continued further past that. So that's one of the many accomplishments that, you know, I'm not really known for. I don't brag about. I don't talk about. But it's the thing that I'm one of the most proud of, just helping other people do the same
thing. That's so dope, man. And we need that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even in school, you're not taught anything about business, man. They teach you to be a worker. You know what I mean?
No, seriously. Even if you go to school for business management and administration, I've had people who've taken my music business classes and they say, man, the stuff that you've shown me just in my class, you know, I didn't learn. I got a whole degree in business management administration.
Right.
And they never walk you through the steps to actually owning your own business or setting up a business bank account, getting business credit and getting funding.
Yeah.
She was like, I never learned that. And I've heard that from multiple people.
Yeah, man. It makes a big difference. You got to make sure you tap in. I've seen the courses that you do. I've tapped into lives. Even you giving games straight up to people live as well. So that's dope. And you also, back to your post, you post about the T-App a couple times.
Yeah, man.
I
want to
get your insight on that now. They say that the T-App was supposed to be something to help
keep women from not getting raped.
Right. Protect them. But somehow...
it's turned into a slander.
We always change something that's supposed to help to toxicity. Do you think it really came from a place of help originally and it just got torn apart?
I definitely feel like the T-App was started to tip women off to some of the sexual predators out here. Because if you see my post, you see I talk about all the time how people are just so freaked out nowadays. Yeah. Everybody's so fucking horny all the time, man. Yeah. God damn. My timeline just be ass and titties and crazy. I'm going to eat pussy all day and I just want to suck a dick and then pause. But it's just, that's all they talk about on my timeline. Yeah. Like, God damn. Like, y'all so goddamn horny and freaked out. That's why can't nobody get shit accomplished. Everybody broke right now. Everybody talking shit about Trump and the economy. Mm. Nigga, you broke because you fucked too much. Sit the fuck down. All right? Women always talk about, oh, I just want somebody to love me for me. Well, don't put your fucking ass on the Instagram all the time.
Shouldn't that be common sense?
No, it's not common sense, man. Like my teacher used to say, common sense is not common. I had a teacher used to say that all the time. But anyway, let me get off my soapbox. Back to the T-App. I genuinely feel like it was started to help women see who are the men they should keep an eye out for.
Right, right.
And then from there, it turned into this nigga cheated on me. Mm-hmm. This nigga like getting his ass ate. Mm-hmm. This nigga will fuck your best friend. This nigga feet stink. This nigga breath stink. Like this nigga always asking for money. And it's like, why? Okay, so now it's just turned into a bitter ex app.
Yeah, a lot of them be lies.
Yeah, a lot of them be lies. A lot of them be lies. You know what I'm saying? A lot of it is just, let me slander this man. Let me just get him up out of it. He may have done me wrong. He may have cheated. Mm-hmm. Maybe his breath do stink. It don't matter. Mm-hmm. But that's not helping anybody save themselves from being sexually assaulted.
Yeah,
right, the app started off great, and now it's just a slander app. But I'm happy that I'm not on it, man. Look, because I come from a background of knowing how to treat women.
Yeah,
you know, 100%. And even if, because I'm not perfect. Right. Even if I have fucked over a woman, man, I try to make it right.
Right.
If you let me make it right, I will. You don't never have to fuck with me ever again. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But one thing I'm going to do, I'm going to apologize. I'm going to give you a sincere apology.
Right.
And look, if I can help you with anything, let me know. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like, I know I may have threw your life off in some way, shape, or form. I know the kids may miss me. You may miss me. Mm-hmm. Man, I am here. If you need me, you can keep me on them kids' emergency form. I'm going to do whatever. You know what I'm saying? You can keep me on your emergency form. You can do whatever. You know, I'm just one of those people who come from a background of having morals and compassion and accountability.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like that's why when people say my name, even when it comes to women, you know, you rarely hear bad things about me.
Yeah.
You know, even if I haven't been the best to a particular woman.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Nothing heinous.
And nothing heinous. I haven't done anything heinous, but ain't nobody even about to put it on me because a lot of women will lie. We've seen
that. Indeed. Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
We've seen
I am very, very careful about the women that I
date.
Should. You know what I'm saying? Because I've seen women bring down some giants.
Yeah. Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Some giants.
That's the thing now. It's like, like, yo, fellas, also, her looks is not enough. You don't need to get involved with no woman that don't have anything to lose. Just like
for
you.
Real.
You know what I'm saying? It's like,
for real.
Don't do it, bro. It ain't worth it. She need to have shit to lose just like you. Like,
see, a lot of these niggas, they not used to fucking with bad bitches, bro. They not used to it. They lames. They clowns. They done got lucky and got some bread. You know what I'm saying? They done worked pretty hard and got some bread.
Yeah.
And now they feel like their next accomplishment, the final accomplishment in life, is getting a bad bitch.
Yeah.
You know? But you got to make sure that she's not just bad on the outside. She's bad on the inside.
Indeed.
You know, because one thing I tell a lot of people is, you get judged by that woman you have next to you in more ways than just what's going on in your home.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
All right. I look at the woman you have next to you as a reflection of you, your right. mindset, your business, mm-hmm. everything. If I see that you a $1 million nigga, but you fucking with a ran through thought, you know.
I
really don't even really want to fuck with you. I don't right. care what you got going
That's
on.
True. That's true.
You know real. What I'm saying? Like, a lot of these celebrities, they be recycling these baddies and these yeah. video models and all that. Like, bro, you got all this money, but you want to fuck this girl that has fucked every last single Crazy. Athlete and rapper, and you done seen her out with this athlete and this rapper. You know, you done heard this. She done got sex tapes right. out, this, that, and other.
But they just fuck them. They want to wipe
yeah,
them up.
That's the thing. They want to wife them. Yes. She's standing next to you. Yeah. Not just in right. the club, but standing on camera. But we talking about you walking into award shows with her. You holding her hand.
Wildly.
Yeah, bro. I'm looking at you crazy. Yeah. I already know your mindset, and I don't want nothing to do with it. I yeah. will stay down here making this little six figures a year,
right,
and
right.
I will be fine with it. I don't need your multi-millions right. because at some point, you're going to do some clown shit because you mm-hmm. chose the wife. You had all these options, but then you went with the pass around.
Crazy. Crazy. Now, also, I want to talk to you about, bro, for the first time in a long time, we have no hip-hop, new hip-hop stars or, mm-hmm. what is it called? First time in a long time, we have no rappers nominated for the Best New Artist at the 2026 Grammys and no rap songs in the Billboard Hot 100 Top 40 since mm-hmm. 1990.
Yeah.
Why do you think this is happening?
It's because... there are no barriers of entry into the music industry. Mm. All right. It's because a lot of times the label reps are, and this people gonna get mad at me for saying this, but a lot of times the label reps and the industry tastemakers yeah. and people of that nature, they've been fired from one label. They'll go to another label, work there for 10 years, get fired, go to another label, get fired. This is the only industry where niggas can get fired from like 7 different companies and still just be going around and around in a circle working at one label after another.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying? And those people are who control the culture. So if you keep failing and you have failures controlling the culture, it's gonna fucking trickle down.
Right.
All right. And these people are why so many people were saying people are gatekeeping. You know, we shouldn't have any barriers of entry because the people who are gatekeeping, the people who are in control are fuck ups and, yeah. and degenerates.
Yeah.
You see what I'm
and
saying?
They're making hip hop like a one trick pony. Everything
yeah.
is about
yeah.
prostitution, gang culture. That's
yeah.
it.
And I literally was about to say that on the Reverb Music Review. Everybody sounds the same. A lot of the music sounds like one long song, bro. Mm. Fuck on your hoe. Fuck on your bitch. Slide on the ops. Right. Hit you with the switch. Woo. Pussy ass, pussy, pussy ass. You know, skeet on my face.
Yeah.
You know, throw this ass on you. Yada. It be the It's one long motherfucking song, bro. Mm. You know, and we've heard it a million times.
Million.
So at some point, niggas are going to get tired of hearing it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we have to get back to the era of, I don't want to sound like this nigga. I don't want to be like this nigga.
Exactly.
I don't want to dress like this nigga. Everybody wears the same exact outfit too. Niggas got a shiesty mask on and a fucking bubble jacket, bro.
Facts.
In 99 degree weather. Everybody looks like that. Everybody has the skinny jeans that come down to their knees mm-hmm. with that fucking goofy ass looking belt with the fucking, what's the underwear everybody be wearing? The fucking, no. I forgot the name. Everybody got them the same underwear now.
Crazy.
You know what I'm saying? Everything is just, it's just cookie cutter.
Even
the same lingo. Twin.
Twin, gang.
Everybody
saying the same
thing. Yeah, everything. Like, nothing. You know, even the same fake jewelry.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody got the same Moissanite fake chains. That's why everybody can tell that your jewelry fake. Niggas been wearing Moissanite chains for the longest. People have been wearing fake jewelry for the longest. But everybody got the same fucking
right.
type of fake jewelry. Nigga, I know your shit fake because I seen it on an ad on the internet for $9.99, bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
I seen it on the Temu site for $9.99, and I'm looking at everybody wearing the same thing. It's like they walk in the DTLR and they walk in the limbs and they see the mannequin and be like, let me just get that right there, bro.
Yeah.
Let me get the whole setup right there.
Yeah, 100%.
You know what I'm saying?
Have you heard this term, black fatigue?
Yeah, where people are getting tired of black people doing dumb
like,
shit.
I'm seeing that term get more and more popularized. Yeah. Do you think even that term itself is the reason why you don't see us in that Grammys grand scheme or scope of things? Like, what are your thoughts on the whole term and the impact it's having?
So I get it. And a lot of it does have a negative connotation to it as mm-hmm. far as what people think that black fatigue means.
Right.
And it's because we glamorize it and we popularize it. When Flavor of Love and all that was out, women didn't aspire to be on Flavor of Love.
Right.
People just watched it and thought it was funny. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, these girls, I want to be on Baddies. What? Right. I want to be on Zeus. I want to be on Now That's TV. I want to be on Bad Girls Club. Oh, so you're aspiring to want to be bottom of the barrel trash. That's what you're aspiring to do. You mean to tell me you want to go on TV and fight? You want to go on TV and smoke weed and get drunk and twerk with your tongue out? You know what I'm saying? Like, this is a goal to you?
Yeah, that's crazy.
So what has ended up happening is the fatigue comes from people only seeing that side of blackness,
right?
The ratchet side.
Because that's what's pushed, but it's so many that's other what's pushed. Sides.
It is. Yeah, you got to think. I work with a lot of HBCUs. I'm seeing the clean cut, right, aspiring to be something exactly. great, wanting to be in leadership side, and that's one of the main reasons why I started working with kids mm-hmm. because the adults were giving me black fatigue.
Yeah.
So yeah I want to be on an HBCU campus. Let me be around kids who literally just want to be kids. They don't want right. to be grown.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Let me be around kids who are aspiring to be something more than just twerking on the internet with your tongue out, fighting on fucking TV,
right.
you know, fucking a rapper, fucking an athlete. Let me be around more than just that.
Yeah,
and let me also put my fucking phone down.
Right.
Because we give ourselves black fatigue exactly. because so many people see those engagements
right.
on social media. And if they even start off wanting to do something positive and do something right, they eventually move over to doing the negativity because right. that's what gets the that's what gets the attention. So a lot of our media outlets, black media outlets, I've seen it on XXL. I've seen it on Black Enterprise.
Right.
I've seen it on Vibe, The Source. They have all turned to advertising trash, bro.
Yeah, they are. And then, like, I think a lot of time people confuse their algorithm with reality. You know
yes.
you don't see all this black foolishness when you're walking around every
exactly.
day.
Exactly.
It's not the majority.
It's not.
But it's just a percentage of idiots that get pushed the most. So, you know, we can't allow that algorithm to fool us from what reality is.
Yeah,
and
man,
also
that
we
money.
Gotta shed light on those real
yeah,
ones.
Yeah, that money make you do some strange things.
Yeah.
We've seen that.
Yeah.
That money will flip a motherfucker in a heartbeat. The minute they started paying people for reels,
right.
you know what I'm saying? And paying people for views and likes and mm-hmm. you know, the amount of comments can change how many people actually see a post. That's when everything changed, bro.
Right.
Everything shifted. People want that real money. 50 Cent said, if your image is your biggest asset, you bound to do some whole shit. He said, if your image is your biggest asset, you bound to do some whole shit. And we see
that's
it happen every day.
Yeah.
People have no talent, no skill, no nothing.
Yo.
And they just be on the internet doing wild shit. And that's why you see them so much.
Yeah, 100%.
That's why you see them so much. And then that's why they end up crashing.
Right.
You
right.
see what I'm saying? Because that can only sustain you for so long. You at some point, you got to have a skill. You got to have a talent.
Right.
You got to have a product. Your skill, your product, and your talent can't be talking shit about other people but for so long.
100%.
Right? You got to have something that's going to actually turn into something positive.
I agree with that 100%, man. And one thing about it, though, on this show, we like to focus in on the journey of our guests.
Mm-hmm.
They hear you doing these things like this, helping the people. But you didn't just were blessed with this mindset out of the blue. You had to go through something to actually gain this type of mindset. So a lot of time people maybe see you doing all these things and may think your success happened overnight. But like you said, that's 23 years.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Ups and downs. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
like, you know, had highs and lows. And that's kind of like what we like to talk about on this show as well. So can you let the people know, you know, where you from and kind of what was your family dynamics growing up?
So I'm from Charleston, South Carolina. That's what Chuck T stands for, Chuck Town.
Ah.
You know, a lot of people think Charles is a part of my name. And then when they see on Facebook, my first name is David, they're like, wait, hold on. You know what I'm saying? Where did the Chuck come from?
But yeah.
Charleston, South Carolina is Chuck Town.
Okay.
When I first started DJing, I didn't have a DJ name because DJing sort of like fell in my lap. So they just used to call me Chuck Town.
Gotcha.
You know, and then after a while, I was more than just that fill-in DJ.
Right.
You know, so they was like, yo, we're going to put your name on the flyer. What name you want us to put on the flyer? We just call you Chuck Town. So I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Call me DJ Chuck T.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Chuck Town for short. But I come from a two-parent home. I come from a very, very great family. My dad did 28 years in the Navy. My mom is a teacher.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Coming up, she was a stay-at-home mom for probably about at least the first seven, eight years of my life.
Right.
And then she went on and got a job at Belk
as
a seamstress because she's a master seamstress. She's always been, you know, dope with a sewing machine.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mom can make a full suit, same thing you see on the racks by hand. She used to do that. So she ended up taking her side hustle.
Okay.
And then she ended up getting a job at Belk doing alterations and being a seamstress. And then from there, she went to college and was like, hey, I want to be a teacher. You know what I'm saying? So I come from a very, very strict family background, very deep religious background, deep in the church.
South, baby.
Yeah, yep, definitely. And I feel like that's where I got my mindset for wanting to have a life of service and serving others, you know, from being in the church.
Yeah.
And we don't see that a lot anymore. You know, we see a lot of people who are out for self, you know, but the church, the black church, the Christian church, you know, puts things in us that we don't really realize until it's no longer there.
Right.
So now that people are making a mass exodus away from church, we start to see a lot of things that, you know, we take for granted that these young people just don't have.
Right.
You know, even in the music industry, just when people sing, like, they don't have that pain.
Right.
They don't have that expression.
Right.
You know, they don't have that real deep aggression in their voice, you know?
Right.
And that's why we don't,
you know,
that
foundation right there
Bingo.
In that church. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You don't hear it in the music as much anymore, you know, like the Fantasias, the Anthony Hamiltons, like, yo, they sang, they don't sing.
That's
they
different.
Sang.
Right.
Nowadays they just sing, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's it. They just sing.
A lot of them barely doing that.
Yeah. You know they're barely doing that. They're just carrying a tune, just holding a melody. But, no, I come from a very strict Christian background, disciplined background, and that's what has allowed me to be successful to this day. I have four siblings.
Yeah.
I got three siblings. That's four of us.
Okay.
I got three older siblings. I'm the youngest of four. I got an older sister, two older brothers. And man, just growing up in that household, man, it was a fight. And that's what gives me the fight I have in me now.
Man, I understand.
You know?
I got three brothers, one sister.
Gotcha.
And I'm the youngest.
Yeah, exactly. So you already know. People think the youngest is spoiled. Yeah. I was just about to say they think the youngest is spoiled. No, I done had to fight for everything, bro.
For real.
I had to kick, punch, claw, scratch, manipulate my mom and dad. I had to do everything. You know what I'm saying?
Got to.
These older brothers and sisters nowadays, man, they don't be taking care of their little brothers and sisters. They be on the game all day.
Right?
They don't interact with them.
Yeah.
Like, and I guess that's why so many people, you know, don't have great relationships with their siblings. But we went through the fire together. We fought together, ate together, cried together, Christmases and everything, you know, birthdays. And holidays, you know, like
all
man, being in the trenches with your siblings is something that people do not understand nowadays.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't take that for granted. Coming from a two parent home where all of us have the same mom and dad, I do not take that for granted.
Not at
all. I do not take
because
it for
some
granted.
Reason that's not really important anymore. You know what I'm saying?
No, you're right.
It's like I understand if it's not there, cool. But you know, I think we should value it and keeping families together instead of like, okay, as soon as you run into an issue, you just break up.
Exactly.
And it's going to make things so much more difficult, man.
Exactly.
Too many hands in the pot can really screw things up.
You know, and that's one of the things I tell so many people is one of my few regrets in life, not being able to give my kids that stable two-parent household, mom and dad, siblings, everybody got the same bloodline.
Right.
Everybody got the same background. Mm-hmm. You know, you start to see when you get older, you know, these, you could call it a broken home. Mm-hmm. I call them blended families.
Blended families.
You know what
for
I'm
sure.
saying? Because I could tell you one thing, my home ain't broken.
Right.
You know,
right,
both my boys 100%. Live with me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
But not having that that two-parent household, and you have so many outside influences, man. Cause you know, at my age, I date a lot of women with kids.
Yeah.
And having to deal with the baby daddies and what they got going on and what the baby daddy wants and what I want. And this my house, but then this the dad, and then the mom may not have even come from a two-parent household, so she don't value the two-parent dynamic and letting the man be the head and you be the neck and it's just all fucked up, man. I'm sorry to say it like that.
It is.
You know?
It is.
Like I said earlier, it's something that brings people closer together when you go through the fire with your siblings.
Right.
You know, but nowadays, like, this one with their mama or their daddy on Thanksgiving, this one with their mama and daddy on Christmas, this one may got some Jordans, this one may got some Adidas, you know, this one may only got a few pants and shoes for school, and this one whole closet decked out. Like it creates a different dynamic, man.
Yeah, it does.
It creates a different dynamic. It does
for sure. I came from that two parent home with all my siblings as well. You know, I grew up, right now I'm married, I have a blended family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's I face a lot of those things like you was talking about, you know, and we get through it. And I'm grateful for the foundation I did have, though, because that made me strong enough to handle
bingo
my situation.
It gives you a different mindset.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, because a lot of people, like, I even, like, kind of try to think from, okay, if I was that dad that's not in that home, okay, how would I want things to be done, too? I would never try to say, nah, you don't need that. I'm like, nah, you need that, too.
Yeah, hell,
you know what I'm saying? It's like, two dads better than one. If they're actually working together, it comes a problem when it comes combative.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? For no reason.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
You know, but a lot of men, you know, we that whole alpha male and beta male tag has sort of, you know, just been thrown around so loosely.
Yeah.
But when people have those ego issues, you know, it really fucks with them.
It do. And if you got an ego issue, you putting your ego above your child.
You are.
And
you
that's
are.
Something you got to put out the
you
way.
Are.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Because my oldest son, he has a stepfather. My oldest son's mom, she's married. They've been married for quite some time. Be cool, easy going, laid back. He calls me sometimes, you know, whenever it comes to disciplining my son. Like, there have been times I had to tell him, bro, put him on punishment. Take that damn tablet, bro. Right. Take the phone, bro.
Facts.
Like, what is you doing? Don't let him talk to you. Like, man, are you crazy?
100%.
Man, and then I get on my son. Hey, you better watch how you talk to him. That's an adult. I don't care how you feel about him.
Right.
That's an adult. You better watch that.
Yep.
But, you know, that was back when, you know, my son actually lived with his mom.
Yeah.
And shit. I raised both my boys.
Yeah,
and I thank God that both my son's mothers have allowed me to be able to do what I do what I want.
Right.
You know, they don't get in the way, even though I know they be wanting to say, like, don't do that. Don't say that. Why do they? Like, look, if you done had to beat him, you done had to beat him. They just let me parent.
He's
a dad. Those are boys. He got it.
Yeah.
It is. You know what I'm saying? So I'm blessed in that aspect because I know so many fathers who don't have that leeway, period, whether they're in the home or out of the home. You know, and then I know so many moms, because like I say, I've dated single mothers for the longest.
Yeah.
You know, who don't even, I be having to tell them, like, yo, man, let the dad do his thing, man. No, he's a boy. Let his dad, you know what I'm saying?
You need that male influence,
got
man.
To.
It's like, it's going to be different. You don't want to be, you don't want to just have one perspective. Like, you can be growing up as a woman mentality if you only getting that, and you a grown man. It's not going to work out for you well. You know what
I mean? And a lot of women, they see that, and they, you know, they say certain things, you hear them talk about, oh, men these days want to be the woman. They so catty. They so emotional. They so this. They so that. Mm-hmm. But then you raising your son to be that same type
exactly.
of man.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Let that boy go with his daddy. Yeah. Let that boy go with his uncles or his grandparents. Right. You know what I'm saying? Take your personal feelings out of that. Think about the child. Look, you fucked up. The relationship done. That's right. all there is
it
to
is
it,
what
man.
It is.
You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we just got to bite the bullet. We still may want that person or desire right. that person. We done fucked up or they done fucked up right. and it's not gonna be the same. At this point, we just gotta do what's best for the kids.
Yeah,
and it's hard for both parties. I've seen men and women just just do what's best for the kids.
Yeah, that's what it's about, man. Because I've seen, like, personally within my immediate family, like, where, like, cause I salute your baby moms for allowing you to have both of your kids.
Yeah, it wasn't easy, but they eventually, you know what I'm
yeah,
saying?
Yeah, yeah. But because I know for a fact that there are situations out there where the woman knows that the child, that they're struggling with that child and barely having ends meet, but they would not allow, they don't want public perception to feel like
Bingo.
They're not taking care of
yes.
their child.
Yes.
They rather that child struggle than to be with their father and prosper.
Because I know people,
them, you know
I know saying? I know people who've told my oldest son's mom, like, oh man, why, how you just let your son go like that?
Ain't that crazy?
The fuck you mean? How should he a boy? He need to be with his dad and mind your business. Just because your baby daddy is a piece of shit don't mean that everybody baby daddy is a piece
and
of shit.
She ain't let her boy go. She let her boy grow.
Bingo.
Because he came with his father who have a different type of influence on
exactly.
him at this point. You know what I'm
exactly.
saying?
Exactly.
So yep. I think it's very important, and everyone got to really understand that. And look, yo, they don't mean you a bad mother because your child needs their father. I mean,
that means you're
natural.
A better mother.
Exactly. You allowing that to happen.
You're a better mother. Yep.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with that, man. You know, now just kind of going back to your journey a little bit, like, you collaborated with giants in the game early
I
on,
did.
Like Pastor Troy, 3-6 Mafia. Now, with you collaborating with them, you know, so early, first of all, what was the vibe like working with, like, pioneers, Southern pioneers?
And Well, back then, Pastor Troy wasn't necessarily a pioneer. He was just hot.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
he was just hot. Because we talking about 2000. Like,
right.
You know, we talking
so he was
about,
hot then.
Yeah, we talking
sure.
about 25 years ago. 3-6 Mafia, they were definitely pioneers back then. But it was all one big blur, to be honest with you.
Mm.
You know, it was one big blur because back then you don't see the value in certain experiences. You don't see the value in certain relationships.
Right.
I was young. I wasn't even 21.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? I wasn't even 21. I'm 19, 20.
Yeah.
You know, out here being in rooms with these people who, you know, are making a huge impact in the game and have made a huge impact in the game. So back then, I didn't value it. And then I was rapping as well. So whenever I was collaborating with them, it wasn't on the DJ side. It was on the music side. It was opening up shows for them. I did a song with Pastor Troy. So back then, it was more so, you know, boy, I'm about to use this and blow up.
Right,
you know what I'm saying? I'm about to take opening up for 3-6 Mafia and blow. I'm about to take this feature with Pastor Troy and blow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, my mindset wasn't where it is now.
Got it.
You
got
know,
it.
And then, you know, the OGs who put me in those positions and put me in those rooms, you know, shit, they was looking at it like, shit, we got more money than them. Because, you know, they street niggas. Mm-hmm. They had the bread.
Yeah,
so they looking like, damn, man, I got more money than goddamn 3-6 Mafia. Them niggas want to go eat at McDonald's, my nigga. I tried to take them, you know what I'm saying, the California Dream, and I ain't want to eat that shit, bro. You know, it was one big nut dropping contest.
Right.
Who got the biggest nuts?
Right.
You know, they sizing everybody up. But, you know, looking back at it now, because me and Pastor Troy is still cool.
Dope.
You know, and I'm actually in negotiations with 3-6 Mafia, with DJ Paul and Juicy J for sample clearance for a young lady who I'm working with out of Charleston. Her name is Queen of Dez. She has a song where she samples that slob on my knob.
Ah.
So, you know, I'm just thinking, boy, 25 years ago, 26 years ago, if I would have really valued that relationship and held it close to me and let it grow, right, maybe I wouldn't be going through all these crazy ass negotiations with this sample clearance, because BMG is running me through the wire.
Wow.
You know, through the ringer, I'm sorry. It's down to the wire because we want to put the song out fully and push it.
Right.
But they put me through the ringer with the negotiation. So, you know, look, it is what it is. Hopefully it works out.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so going through that, you know, looking back, hindsight, everything, you know, 2020. Mm-hmm. Now, what would you say to those upcoming artists? Like, okay, they having that same mindset. Okay, I'm going to just collaborate with them and just get hot right now, instead of thinking about that big picture, because a lot of times those relationships are not as important. They're just trying to use a moment.
Exactly.
What would you say to them?
Man, think forward. Think ahead. Think about your career. Don't think about the moment. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think about what's going on in my career right now and what I want to achieve right now.
Yeah.
But this rap game, to be completely honest with you, it will pay you more and it will be more valuable to you in the wealth building process than anything else you can invest in. We're talking about stocks, bonds, crypto, and real estate. Music will pay you more. One hit record, all right, will pay you more than buying a multi-million dollar property.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Because one thing about music, you never have to update it, upgrade it, remodel it. You know what I'm saying? You never have to change it or anything like that. One hit record will pay you forever, and you never have to really invest anything else into it. And on top of that, when it comes to stocks and bonds and crypto and things of that, your music will never be worth one price one day and then shit the next day.
Mm.
Right? If I put $1 million into my music career, it's only going to go up.
Right.
Stocks, bonds, crypto, you put $1 million in that motherfucker, it may be worth $50,000 literally the next day.
It can. Yeah.
All right. Same thing with real estate. You can put a lot of money into remodeling a house and updating the kitchens and the bathrooms and the floors.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that house may be worth $1.2 million when you get done. Mm-hmm. And then the housing market will crash and that motherfucker be worth $350,000. All right, but with your music, it's always going to go up.
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of the private equity firms and these investment companies like BlackRock and Vanguard and all them, that's why they're getting into buying up everybody's publishing and buying people's masters, because they understand the value in music.
Right.
And they understand you can make money off music in so many different ways. It can be used in ads, in movies.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, people will sample it, do interpolations off of it. One record, there's six different ways to get money off of it. You know what I'm saying? It's called the six exclusive copyrights. You know what I'm saying? I actually teach that in my class, the six exclusive rights of a copyright, I should say. Six exclusive rights.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I teach it and people are like mind blown. They're boggled.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here like, bro, I've been telling y'all this for the longest.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Money. Sure. Look, music is where it's at.
Yeah. 100%. 100%.
Yep. So keep those relationships good. Keep them good.
It's key, man.
You know what I'm saying? Relationships are everything. We hear that so much. Very few people actually see the value in it until it's too late.
Right.
Once it gets too late, then I'm like, damn, I should have held on to his number. Man,
right,
I should have reached out, you know, before today. You know what I'm saying? Man, I should have made sure I checked in on a regular basis. I should have followed him or her online.
Yep.
You know, and now here you are needing a favor from this person.
And they
need this
remember.
Person to plug it in. And it's like, bro, I ain't heard from you in how long?
Right. Yeah, 100%.
Know?
Yeah. I mean, I think, I don't know, kind of in our area, man, we got a culture of like people like, okay, well, you ain't hot yet, so I don't want nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they kind of push you to the side.
Do.
They don't put anything on potential. Well, hell, they don't even have time to even realize your potential, because they're not even paying you no mind because you're not at a certain level yet. And I definitely learned a long time ago, man, like, yo, you don't burn bridges. You don't burn bridges. You don't treat nobody no type of way. I
For
treat
real.
Everybody with respect.
As you should.
Like, they come in like, all right, yo, I support all the artists. I like, only thing you got to be is dope. I don't care if you got 300 followers.
Exactly.
If you got dope music, I'm like, yo, pull up. I want to hear your story. You know
For
what I'm
real.
Saying?
Yeah.
That's how I feel about the whole thing.
Correct.
Because I've been an artist before. I've done shows in different areas like California, Atlanta, doing shows. But when I was talking to those people there, their mindset was different than what I noticed here, man.
So, and I feel like that's because they have more instances of success than we do. And success seems easier to attain in the music industry and in the film industry than it is here. We're still sort of fighting, kicking, scratching, clawing for position. Right. And we think that only one or two people going to make it.
Right.
And those areas that you name, Atlanta, California, New York, Miami, Houston, they have multiple instances of success in front of them. So there's not that hate and that jealousy and that race to be number one. Oh, I'm going to get a connect and I'm going to hide it. Right. I'm going to hold it all to myself. Mm. They don't have that mentality. They're like, shit, that nigga getting money, I'm going to get my money too. Because this nigga get it and this nigga get it and this nigga got it and this nigga been doing it and he's been doing it. So, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Shit, I can get a piece too.
Yeah.
But we're so used to seeing only one nigga get in.
That's
only
true.
Two people get in that it makes us feel like, damn, I'm in a race against all these people I should be collaborating with.
It's not a race at all. Like, I know you had that mentality because I saw you at working at an event, like the basketball event with, dang, what's my
BCIC.
Homie name? I just saw you out there doing your thing. I just came and hollered at you. You ain't treat me like I was just some nobody. You didn't know me, though.
Nah, you're right.
You know what I'm saying? I was just like, yo, I introduced myself to you. I was like, and you like hollered at me, took my card. And hey, we're here today, you know what I'm saying?
Connect. For real.
And throughout, I've been supportive to your social media. You've been supportive to mine.
Yep.
It's like, I think developing relationships and just being cool with you know what I'm saying, with people, treating them respect, it'll take you a long way. You know
of
what I'm
course.
Saying? Now, talking about showcases now, you recently made a post about showcases too. Like,
I made a post about a lot of showcases.
But an artist was saying something about he don't pay for showcases.
Stuff
like that. But when you... Okay, you did a little research on him.
I did a research on him. I do research on everybody who talk crazy.
And all this stuff.
This nigga
had
0 monthly listeners, bro. And that's a God's honest truth. Any nigga who ever talks crazy in the music industry, 9 times out of 10, they do not have no motion.
Mm. What does real motion look like?
Real motion looks like I see you moving around. It doesn't even have to be a crazy amount of followers, crazy amount of monthly listeners, but I need to see you doing something constructive with your time.
Right.
Instead of sitting at home.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Instead of typing on the fucking computer or on your phone, putting negativity out there. I need to see you doing shows. I need to see you dropping music.
Right.
You can have 50 songs on your Spotify and none of them have more than 1,000 plays, but I see that you are actually putting music out. You can have 100 videos on your YouTube and don't none of them have over 2,000 views, but I see you moving. That's motion. You may not get no paid shows. Every show you may do may be a showcase, but if I see you got 50 clips on your IG of you performing, that's motion. Because you only got to be right one time.
Ooh.
All right? That's it. You only got to have one hit record. You only got to be in the room with one executive who can push a button. You only got to be in the room with one DJ who going to go crazy on your record. You only got to be right in this business one time.
Right.
And when that moment comes, you got to have your resume together so that you can have leverage.
Yeah, 100%.
You see what I'm saying? You got to have your resume together.
So resume is still important. Even
resume always going to be important.
Even in the social media era.
Even in the social media era. Everything boils down to your resume. I need to see what you are doing. Mm-hmm. All right, we have too many one-hit wonders out here.
Man,
you see what I'm saying? Too many one-hit wonders. We have too many people who not necessarily have gotten lucky, but who these music executives whose jobs are on the line to just deliver some money,
right?
That it's not really about the culture to a lot of these labels. It's about the bread. What does that bottom line look like? We in the black or we in the red?
Got it.
So if somebody can take whatever you're doing on TikTok and turn it into some money where it's going to put that record label in the black instead of in the red, you're going to get a situation.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But ain't no longevity in that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, ain't no longevity in that.
So are those showcases still important even to this day? Like,
yes.
Because he sounded like he felt like he was too big for a showcase.
Yeah, he was too big, and the nigga had 0 monthly listeners, and all of his videos had like 300 views, 300 plays. That nigga needed to be in the showcase.
Yeah, what's the benefit right now, like in today's era?
So right now, there's a few benefits. One would be we all know that live performances – all right, especially in this AI age, live performances are becoming more and more important. When you get on that stage, you need to be able to show the fuck out.
Right.
All right. Half of these artists who I see say they don't need showcases. When I finally see them perform, they looking down, they looking around, they ain't got no breath control. They're ad-libbing their back track. You not even performing. You got the words rapping on the song behind you, and you shouting out goddamn hey on the mic, letting the track rap for you. You can't perform worth shit. You know what I'm saying? And performances is how a lot of artists are getting the bulk of their money. All right? Because when they sign a record deal, you know, you in the hole. You get $1 million advance, you in the hole $1 million. You got to make $1 million back off of 0.00036 cents per stream. Mm-hmm. That's how you're going to be paying that back in 5 lifetimes.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So them live performances is how you really going to get your bread. Right. So if you can't perform and people can't book you because your show is trash, you done out the gate. Showcases are a training ground for that. You learn how to perform. You learn how to hold the mic. These niggas don't even know how to hold the mic, bro. They covering up the top of the mic, and they sound... You can't even understand them. So just from the practice aspect, showcases are important. Then the content aspect, people have to see you. We're in a content-driven society these days. People want to see you outside. The purpose of social media, if you want your social media to work, look, if you want social media to work for you, your social media is meant to showcase what you are doing outside. All right? You got to get outside. The content that gets the most engagement is content with you outside interacting with people. All right? And if you're trying to gain fans, man, there's no better way than the game fans than for them to go on your Instagram and see videos of you fucking killing it.
Right.
Even if ain't nobody in the crowd. You don't got to show the crowd.
Exactly.
All right, get the cameraman to only catch me now.
Yeah.
I'm going to get up here. I'm going to jump around. I'm going to shake my dreads.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm going to do a backflip on stage. Whatever. Mm-hmm. All right, whatever. You show out, that's going to make people say, damn, I want to see him perform. God damn, that nigga killed it.
Yeah.
All right, so from a content aspect, you need that as well. Then from a networking aspect, you need it because that's the one time that you can get 30 to 40 artists in one building, 30 to 40 producers, 20 to 30 DJs, publicists, managers, you know, studio owners. The showcases are the one time you're going to be able to get all them people in one room.
Yeah.
All right? And 100%. You need to be able to take advantage of that.
Yeah. And then something I learned, you got to make sure you work the room. Don't just go up there and perform and get off stage.
And then leave or go in the corner.
Right. Have some product, have some cards, go around in the crowd, pass it out, talk to people, work the room.
Work the room. It's so important. Work the room.
It's gonna make you stick out because most niggas, they feel like they so cool.
Yeah, they either perform and leave, or they perform and then they go stand in the corner the whole night and just sit there.
Yeah.
All right. They don't reach out to none of the DJs. And you know, anytime I do a showcase, I try to make sure I have important people in the building.
Yeah.
All right. You gotta have important people in the building.
Man.
When it comes to showcases, I tell people the price of the showcase, because people say, oh, I don't want to pay this amount. The price of the showcase should be determined by who's in the room or what's the prize package.
Right.
If a showcase ain't going to have nobody there but a bunch of rappers, then all right, $30 is the most I would pay for it.
Right.
But if you're going to have 20 DJs there, maybe there's a panel of DJs, maybe there's, you know, some DJs in there doing music reviews, maybe you got a few media outlets there doing interviews, okay, now I'm going to pay a hundred.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Now I'm going to pay a hundred, you know? But either way it goes, you need to be performing. I don't give a fuck if it's at a $20 showcase, a $200 showcase. They could, if they got label reps, if they got DJs, if they got media people, if they got producers, if they got anybody there who can get you in a better position or put you in a better position, you need to be in that room.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Now, you know, even talking about showcasing a branch off of that, I be seeing you doing the Who Buzzin' thing. Like, how did that come about, and why is it important for artists to, you know, holler at you to get on that platform?
So the mic drops, I thought were going to die. I'm not even going to lie. I thought the mic drop performances would be long dead.
Yeah.
But I saw that they were actually gaining more and more traction every year, you know, and there were more platforms coming out, and it really was based on content. We are in a content-driven industry, and artists will always need content. So the wall where the Who's Buzzin' mural is at, I used to walk past that every day because it's right across the street from the Spectrum Center where the Hornets play.
Right.
So, you know, anytime I had a meeting with the Hornets, Hornets, or I was there for a game, or, you know, I'm planning an event with the Hornets, I would walk past that wall. And I always said, man, that's a dope ass mural. I want to do something in front of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I couldn't really think about what I wanted to do. I had already taken like two or three pictures in front of it just for my own self. But I got into a little bit of trouble with the government.
Okay.
The government went into my bank account, took out like $20,000.
What?
Yeah, yeah. I slipped up. I didn't do something I was supposed to do. Yeah. You know, and look, when I said it, when I was like, I went on Facebook, I said, damn, boy, the Department of Treasury just went inside my account and grabbed out a couple bands. Boy, I'm sick right now. And like two or three other people said this. They said, bro, mine too. They just took all my goddamn money. So we were all in the same predicament. I don't want to get into details, it was just me, I would tell, but there are so many other people in the same predicament. I don't want to. Yeah. But anyway, U.S. Department of Treasury went in my account, took out a shitload of money. I was fucked up. Yeah. And I said, boy, how am I going to bounce back?
Yeah.
You know, and I just thought and I thought and I thought, and boom, I woke up one morning and I said, boy, I'm going to do the fucking mic drop videos.
Right.
And I'm going to do it in front of the mural.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? So I already had the mic because that's the same mic I use for the Reverb Music Review. You know what I'm saying? I just went on Amazon and I bought me a crane. Boom, I set up. I already had done video work before, so I didn't need nobody to do my video work. Still had my Canon camera. And boy, I set up shop. I called like three or four artists. Hey, I'm going to do this for you. Pull up on me at this address. And man, we did the mic drop videos and boom.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, my phone ringing like crazy. And, and the bounce back was strong. You know what I'm saying? Up. I wasn't broke no more.
Yeah. Now, you casually said having a meeting with the Charlotte Hornets and doing this with them. You casually say that. We can't just let that go by. Like, can you talk to us a little bit about, you know, what you do with the Charlotte Hornets?
So right now I'm the curator of a Hornets Music Industry Night, which is the first ever music industry night in the NBA. It is the first night that has ever been given to a DJ or any type of curator to actually do their own show, do their own night. It's groundbreaking in the NBA.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know of any other DJ who has a night or any other music executive that has a night, period. Yeah. And the Charlotte Hornets have basically got to a point where they saw the growing music scene in the Carolinas. All right. They saw the baby. They saw Tusi. They saw Fantasia.
Yep.
And they needed somebody to come in and be that person and be that liaison. And they juggled a few names around. You know, my name came up quite a few times.
Yeah.
They reached out to a few people who they thought may be a better fit because they were on radio or they were on TV, or maybe they had some platinum plaques, and they were like, shit, you was really the only person who called us back and who was enthusiastic about it and who really wanted to do it. And it was a no brainer. We got to work with him. And then on top of that, it sort of threw him for a loop that I told him, I don't want no money. I just want control. This is the culture. All right, don't put me on no salary. I don't want to be an employee. Y'all ain't about to lock me down and, you know, have me watching what I post and watch what I say and watching who I'm associated with.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, when you take people money, they control you. You see what I'm saying? They write you a check. Now you got to do what they say. So I said, I don't want no money from you or the NBA. I don't want no Hornets money. I don't want no NBA bread. Just give me the opportunity. Give me the freedom. Let me put the people in place who I want to be in place. And let me get the people to perform who I want to perform. Let me do my event without any restrictions. And I'll create the bread myself. And look, I'm going into what? Season number 5?
Wow.
Right, this is season number 5, Music Industry Night number 7 that's coming up.
And you still have complete control
over it. I still have complete control over the event. Complete control. The only thing that they monitor is the national anthem. That's the only thing I got to get clear by them. But as far as the performances go and all that, it's all on me. You know what I'm saying? But the minute I accept that check.
The game?
So, we have the pregame performance. As people are walking into the arena, it's called the primetime performance.
Right.
As people are walking into the arena, I have that performance where people can do covers. It's mainly R&B because they want, you know, they want it to be covers. They want it to be R&B covers or hip-hop covers, something old school, something energetic. They really don't want to take a chance on new music.
Right.
I get a lot of R&B people, hey, sing this Aretha Franklin song, sing this Michael Jackson song, sing this Whitney Houston, and boom, they always go out there and kill it. Yeah. And then they give me a portion for 2.5 hours before the game where I can do the music conference portion.
Okay.
And then after the game, we go down to the court, we do a post-game concert. And that's all on me. And this year, all right, 2025-2026 season, you probably going to be seeing the first ever halftime show produced by me. All right?
Y'all heard it here.
First ever halftime show produced by DJ.
Dang, you know what I'm saying?
Not just any DJ, but DJ Chuck T. So,
you know. And they got the right one for it.
They got the right one for it, bro.
For real.
They got the right one for it because anything I do, I put my foot in it and I do it with excellence. I do it with pride. I do it with love. Yeah. I do it with passion. So it's not going to be half-assed. I'm just waiting on the green light. It's probably going to be in February. But the minute they give me the green light on that halftime show, I'm gone.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm gone.
100%. Love that, man. Now, I'm going to pivot a little bit. Okay. On this show, we got this segment called Love, Loyalty, or Respect, and I want to get your insight on it.
Let's do it.
So, I'm going to say a relationship. You let me know what's the most important love, loyalty, or respect in that relationship.
Okay.
All right. So, let's first one, what's the most important with the wife, love, loyalty, or respect?
Well, I'm not married. I do plan on getting married, though. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people have given up on marriage. I'm not giving up on marriage, bro. I don't care how many bad relations I go through. I'm not giving up on marriage.
Right.
But in my marriage, I would want respect more than anything. Mm.
Why is that?
Because with the respect, the loyalty gonna come. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? The loyalty is gonna come. Plus, a lot of people have a different idea of what loyalty is.
Okay.
Respect is pretty much flat out. You can't really bend on respect.
Right.
But loyalty, some people have a skewed vision of loyalty.
Yeah. 100%.
All right. Even with love, you know, everybody loves different. There's seven different love languages.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? You know, I wouldn't say love fades, but it can fade.
It can be rejuvenated as well.
Yeah. But if you have the respect, then the other two gonna fall right in line. If you respect me, then I can make you fall back in love with me again.
That is true.
If you respect me, then you're gonna always be loyal to me.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? And you're going to be loyal to me in the way that I want you to be loyal to me. We see it a lot with women. We have a lot of women who feel like loyalty is, I don't care if you cheat, just as long as all the bills get paid and home is taken care of.
It is true.
Then you have some women who are like, fuck all that. Just don't cheat on me, nigga.
Right.
You know,
right,
loyalty, you put your dick in another female, that's not loyal.
Right.
You know, so it's different. Like I said, loyalty has its ups and downs, and it's a perspective.
Yeah, for sure.
All right? It's
sure.
Subjective.
Indeed.
All right?
Indeed.
But respect, if you respect me, then everything else going to fall in place.
Got you. All right, bet. So love, loyalty, respect when it comes to a business partner.
Respect as well.
Okay.
All right? Respect as well, because you're not going to stab me in the back if you respect me. You know what I'm saying? You may do something that I may not think is loyal.
Right.
But if you have respect for me, you're going to come to me and we're going to talk about it. And we're going to either work it out or we're going to agree to disagree.
Yeah.
We're going to part ways. But that respect, bro, once I lose that respect in business, I don't care how much I love you.
Yeah.
I don't care about my loyalty. I don't care about none of that. If once that respect is gone, man, fuck you, bro.
I can't rock with you.
Yeah, fuck you all the way.
Yeah, and that conversation is so important, man. If you respect me, don't try to sneak and do shit behind my back.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
exactly.
Even if you know I'm not going to like it, if you tell me, I can respect, I'm going to respect you even more, too.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So that's real. That's real. All right, now, in this relationship, what's the most important? Love, loyalty, respect with yourself?
I would say respect.
Mm.
Respect again, because loyalty to myself looks like selfishness. You see what I'm saying? It looks like selfishness.
Yeah.
You know, and you can love yourself all you want, but if you respect yourself, you're going to treat yourself better.
Yeah, 100%.
I can love my body, you know, but if I respect my body, then I know I need to get my ass up and go to the gym.
Right.
I know I shouldn't eat this McDonald's. You know what I'm saying? Right. I can look in the mirror and love what I see. I feel like I look good.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Let me go smoke this blunt. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Let me go drink this whole half a bottle of a motherfucking Hennessy.
Yeah.
But if I respect myself, I'm going to say, I'm going to lay off the smoking. I'm going to lay off the drinking.
Right.
Let me take care of my body.
Yeah,
let me take care of myself. Let me take care of my skin. Let me make sure I'm drinking my water.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Taking my elderberry and my black seed oil. You know, making sure I'm doing my 50 push-ups and my 50 sit-ups a day.
Yeah.
So when it comes to just me, period, respect. Is respect trumps almost everything in life. I don't know what other questions you have,
I
think I'm gonna pretty much always go with respect, unless it's my mama. Then it's I want love.
Right, right, 100%, 100%. Now,
them white Jewish people from back in the day, that's who taught him the game. So that's what he thinks is right. No. Morally, you know if something is right or wrong.
Right.
And you know that if it hurt me, it's going to hurt him too. So I'm not about to cheat nobody out of their masters or their publishing.
Right,
you know, so that's one of the main things that makes me really want to take my courses to the next level, teach them in college, do my courses for the community with the Foundation of Music, because that's mine. I own it. You know what I'm saying? But also break it down into seminars and 2 and 3 hour seminars, and create a community based on people who actually want to be involved in the business, but then do business the right way.
Would you be a professor like Knife Wonder?
So I've been approached, but I don't have a college degree.
Okay.
So that's what I've been fighting with as of recently. Do I just want to pump my money into building the Foundation of Music, which would be my own brand, my own course, my own class, which I want to grow into a school?
Mm-hmm.
Or do I want to say, on top of that, let me sort of put that on the back burner, go to school and get my degree.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then I can actually teach in a course, because at some point I have to get the Foundation of Music accredited.
Got it.
So if I go to school, I get an English degree, I pass the teaching exam in North Carolina, South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Now I am a legally certified teacher.
Right, right.
All right. So now I can take the Foundation of Music and I can go and get that accredited.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Or do I even really need accreditation?
You may not.
You see what I'm saying? No, I don't, because people are, people paying for the course now.
Right, right.
You see what I'm saying? I'm getting $200 to $250 for the course. I'm getting that put dead straight in my pocket.
Right.
But I have worked with, like, the city of Chattanooga. Shout out to Chattanooga, Tennessee. Shout out to the Chattanooga Hip Hop Summit. I've worked with them, and they have been able to create an amazing opportunity where, you know, they've been able to go to the city of Chattanooga, get a grant for me to come to Chattanooga, Tennessee and teach my class free of charge to the public.
Oh, that's awesome.
You see what I'm saying? So that let me know I don't really need accreditation and I don't really need that degree because the course is so amazing. The information is so amazing. And I just witnessed somebody get a huge bag for me to come and teach my non-accredited class with my non-degree having ass.
Yeah, it shows the value of what you got already.
Yep, so I think about things like that and I say, I don't need it, but getting one would definitely help. So my biggest dilemma right now is the time.
Yeah.
Because I do have shout out to Livingstone College. I'm a student mentor at Livingstone College. Livingstone College came to me and they said, "Hey, look, we'll get you your degree." You know what I'm saying? You know, they didn't say what they wanted in return.
Yeah.
You know, and I almost know what they want in return. We want you to come and teach our students for free. We about to give you a whole free degree. You know what I'm saying? Which I wouldn't debate. I love going. I do it for free now. I go on campus.
How long you want me to do it for free?
Bingo. How long you want me to do it for free? Yeah. Yeah. We haven't even talked to that. They just presented that to me. You know what I'm saying? But I'm like, shit, I be on campus anyway for free, looking out for the students, talking to the students, helping the students.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? But I don't know how long I'm gonna be able to do it for free. Right now my money is great. My money has been great for the longest.
Yeah.
But I never know when I may be in a position where it's like, damn.
Yeah.
Well, I really can't afford the come on campus and you know what I'm saying? Yeah, so
it's real sometimes.
So but I am leaning towards going and getting my degree.
Yeah.
So that I can get my classic credit. That's what I'm leaning to. It's really, like I said, just a time situation.
Right. Yeah, that's dope, man. So how can if someone's interested in your education, want to be a part, if they want to just holler at you other than that, how can they get in contact?
Everything is at DJ Chuck T. I would not be able to push people to have their business together if I didn't have my business together. So everything is DJ Chuck T, at DJ Chuck T on all platforms, DJ Chuck T at Gmail and DJ Chuck T at AOL on the email, www.djchuckt.com. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Or you can text me directly, area code 843-279-8483. Again, that's 843-279-8483. Again, that's 843-279-8483. Shoot me a text. You can call me as well, but shoot me a text. Sign up for my text alerts and my text blast. That means everything that I got going on is going to come straight to your phone. Music business classes, seminars, parties, showcases, Hornets Music Industry Night, one-on-one consultations, and how you can just sit down with me and we can just hash out a plan for your music career, solo, dolo, just us. Mm-hmm. Everything is at DJ Chuck T.
Hey, yo, guys, make sure you tap in. Make sure you tap in. You can tell he be on the radio. You heard him put out them numbers like 3-4 times back to back. Yo, that's hard, man. It was a pleasure having you on, fam.
Man, definitely appreciate you. Thank you, man. I appreciate the Highest Point Podcast.
Yes, sir. And so until next time, you guys hold it down. Don't let it hold you. Peace.
The Highest Point Podcast.
More than a pod, it's a lifestyle.